Perfect.
Perfect. So my talk, so Pam said, hey, why don't you talk about your experience at Unity? Because I go there every year, and many of you know, and I oftentimes have these incredible aha moments. And so this year, there wasn't such a big aha moment that came along, so, but I spent quite a bit of time up in the Silent Unity Prayer Chapel, where all the prayer requests come in and are all documented, and they're in this beautiful little chapel, and it's just, you can feel the prayer energy that's been there for 125 years. So in that process, I was thinking about, because I'd been asked about this Sunday before I went, and I was thinking about, well, what is my thing gonna be? What happened to me up here? And what came pretty clear to me is that what I needed to talk about was Unity as the home of positive prayer. That's what flashed in my head. And many of you know, I'm a prayer chaplain, and so we learned the five steps, which you'll learn today, of positive prayer. And so while I'm in the thing, I'm thinking about, okay, how would I present that? And what would that look like? And unfortunately, on the campus is the archives where all of the original writings of Charles and Myrtle are, from day one. And they're all being categorized and actually put them on electronically. In fact, they have a daily word from 19, I think it's 23. So if you were born before 19, or after 1923, you can go online today, put in your birth date, and it will give you the daily word for that day. It is so cool. So I print them out for my family, so we all got our daily words. Anyway, so today we're gonna talk about Unity as the home of positive prayer. And it all started with Myrtle Fillmore. So their backstory was, Myrtle was, as a young adult, very sick with tuberculosis. And in those days, there was no cure for it. And so when she was about 40 years old, she went to her doctors and they said, we're done. We're gonna give you a couple, 3 weeks. That's all you get. So Myrtle was going, well, that's not right. That's not fair. Am I banging it with my shirt? Is that what's happening? Okay, sorry about that. If I get these bangs, it's just it's my bigger self coming out. Anyway, so she went to a revival by a guy named Weeks, E.B. Weeks, Dr. E.B. Weeks. And she had this revelation. What E.B. said is that we are all children of God. And as children of God, we are completely whole. We don't inherit sickness as a child of God. Our spiritual nature is not sick, it's not disease. It is wholeness, health, and so she picked up on that and she said, you mean as a perfect child of God, I didn't create this illness, I didn't inherit this illness? I mean, this is not part of who I really am? And so she ran with that. And so she kept saying, like a mantra, I'm a perfect child of God, I did not inherit illness. And she really, really worked on that. 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 2 years later, she cured herself of tuberculosis. In that process, a lot of her friends were watching her and going, well, Myrtle, what's going on here? She said, I'm a perfect child of God. I did not inherit illness. I am health. And so they said, well, can you teach us how to pray like that, to cure ourselves? And she said, sure, we can get together and we can have prayer. And a lot of that's done in the silence. Charles, her husband, was coming from a different angle, but it saw all of this taking place. And so he started asking the questions, how can that be? What's happening? How do miracles happen? You know, and so he goes back to the scripture and other readings and started putting together his thoughts about how that was working. And there are a lot of other metaphysicians doing that at the same time. This was during the confluence of the Industrial Revolution and coming off the agrarian society. And so science is trying to prove the existence of God or the non-existence of God, depending on your point of view. But that was what was happening. So they were looking at what is the scientific principles that we can use to show that this stuff is real, it's really happening, because it certainly happened to Myrtle. So all of that was happening all at the same time. So Myrtle started, and Charles would join together with their friends, and they would sit around the circle and pray, and then go into silence and let that grok and feel the presence and be there. And people started having some wonderful results of that. You know, they were in the Depression, and so there was a lot of fear around resources and all those kind of things. Well, things changed for those people. Well, then the word spread further and further. Finally, they created silent unity. As letters came in and telegraphs and other things were coming, pouring in, saying, I have a sick child or a situation in my life. Would you pray for me? So they started doing that. That started silent unity. That's been 125 years or so that's been going on. But Myrtle's claim that I am healthy, whole, and free, that I did not inherit this illness, that I am a child of God, and as a child of God, I am whole, perfect health, was what started that process. Before I get into the five steps, I want to say that there is nobody's got a handle on prayer. Jesus had a pretty good handle on prayer, and a lot of the stuff that came out of Charles and Phil and Myrtle's work came out of the teachings of Jesus, but there's other things that went into it. But there's no right or wrong way to pray, so I'm not going to give you the right way to pray. If you get to your knees and cry from your heart, help me God, that's probably the best prayer you can really do, because it's sincere. And so it's when we talk about positive prayer, we also talk about the sincerity and knowing that you know that you know. So I'm not going to give you the whole thing, but I will show you what unity teaches and what seems to have worked for the last 125 years. It has five steps, and the interesting thing as I was doing this, something flashed in my mind while I'm going through the stuff. We have five principles that unity is founded on. Let me see. They're on the back of your bulletin, and I'm going to read them real quick. Like, first of all, there's one presence, one power in my life, God the good. Okay, that's one. The presence of God indwells all things, including me. We are co-creators with God in our power of our thought, thoughts held in mind, producing kind. The power of prayer heals, uplifts, and transforms. And we are here, we're a spiritual being having a human experience for a divine purpose. So those are the five unity principles. They play into these five steps, and I didn't really put that together until I started putting together this talk, and I thought, oh, wow, look at this. So here we go. Step one is recognition. Whenever I am living with dignity, compassion, care, love, and belonging, I am living in oneness. As I become aware of the entirety of God at every point, I am inspired to claim my full divinity and express oneness through my full humanity. Divine life is the creative force that is active, eternally expressing as joy, beauty, grace, peace, and everything in between. Because these are all in that ever-present oneness that is always arising. The first principle is to recognize that. Recognize there is one power and one presence in my life, in the universe, God the good, omnipotent. That's the first thing. So we first look at what is our expression of God. And it's the God of your understanding. I'm not here to tell you what God, how God is, or what God is. Each one of us has our own understanding of that. Some of us have more learned understandings than others. It doesn't make any difference. And I use the word God, but it's divine source. It is spirit. It is creator. It is whatever name you want to put to it. In fact, we had a lady here, Wendy Stevens, and she called that ever-present, all-knowing source of good, of all love, of everything, Big Sweetie. So Big Sweetie for Wendy, that one's on you. So, and this present God is omniscient, all-knowing, omnipotent, all-powerful, and omnipresent, everywhere present. And if that's the case, if we truly believe that's the case, then all the rest of everything flows from it. It recognizes the truth of our being is that we live, move, and have our substance in that presence, in that God. So there are times in our process, and maybe there's a time right now where we go like, I can't feel the presence of God. I mean, all this stuff going on, I can't feel the presence of God. Well, then you have to ask yourself, well, who moved? Sometimes we can't. I mean, sometimes it's just hard to do that. And that's the time when we need to go find our spiritual center. Just like we did in meditation and like we're going to do here in a moment. Find that place where all this stuff on the outside just kind of fades away, if only for an instant. It doesn't have to be for a lifetime. But it should maybe take a moment and know that God is there. God didn't move. So, and as I talked about a couple weeks ago, a good way to do that as you get ready to settle in is go, shh. And the reason that works is because all of us, at some point in our life, had somebody hold us and go, shh, in a loving way. Not shh, but shh. So I invite you just to settle in, take a couple of breaths, and just go a shh. And feel that presence. That's the first step. Recognize the spirit, the divine God is right here, right now, at all times. Just by being still and know.
Still and know that I am God.
God is. The second step is called unification. So there's a recognition, now there's a unification. I express God with each thought that I think, each word that I speak, and each action that I take. God and I are one. In this moment, I breathe the breath of God. I remember my divinity and honor the divinity in all of humankind. I express God in my unique way, trusting my inner guidance. With a grateful heart, I nurture my divine self as I grow ever more gently into my Christ spirit. So the second step is unification. To know that we are interconnected and interdependent on this force we call God or spirit or the divine. Separation is an illusion. There is no duality. We created that duality when we stepped away from the garden, so to speak. But it's just in our minds that in reality, we are totally interconnected. And we are one with not only God, but with everything that exists, because we live within that whole cosmic entity. Charles Fillmore started taking a real hard look at if we are made in the likeness and the image of God, what does that mean for us? And he came up with a thing called the 12 powers, and it follows with the 12 disciples, it follows with the zodiac calendar, there's a whole bunch of pieces to it. But it boils down to this, the 12 powers. The first one is faith. Faith assures me, my faith assures me that every event in my life has meaning and brings gifts. Every event brings meaning and brings gifts. It has meaning and brings gifts. Strength, my strength bolsters me. I express my strength and vitality of spirit. Wisdom guides me. I can handle any circumstance by tapping into the wisdom within me and all around me. Love blesses me. The inexhaustible stream of divine love pours through me, blessing others and myself, and showers limitless blessings all around me. Next one is power. Power moves me. The power of my thoughts and words move me ever closer to the truth of my being. Imagination carries me. My imagination brings possibilities into life. Understanding expands me. My spiritual understanding, I know everything is unfolding for my highest good. Will transforms me. I use my power of will to choose, to commit, and to be open and willing. Order balances me. Understanding divine order, I can embrace paradox and navigate chaos while keeping my balance. Enthusiasm ignites me. I ignite my enthusiasm by focusing on what brings me joy. Release frees me. Whatever I release blesses me. And life awakens me. Life is the infinite endowment of God, and eternal life is happening right now. So those 12 powers, as Charles put together, are those essences of spirit that are operating through us in our, as we go through and navigate this thing we call life. But we don't have to do it alone. We have our spiritual father right at our side. And we are created in the image and the likeness of God. The spark of that divinity rests with us. We call it the Christ within, and it is what we can go to anytime where we have a question, where we need comfort and consolence, it's there. And we have this wonderful thing of being a spiritual entity in a human form and get to navigate here with each other in this realm. It took me a long time to understand that. It really took me a long time to really figure that out. And I gotta admit, it makes it a lot more comfortable sometimes for me when I run up against something in my face and I go, wait a minute. I'm a spiritual being. How would I handle this as a spiritual being? And what are the powers that I have internally that I can bring forth to overcome or sidestep or make different? So we are one. We are one with spirit, and we are one. The third step is what we call realization. This is kind of where the rubber hits the road. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. As a child of God, I have inherited creative powers. With my thinking, I envision my success. I see with the eye of spirit. And I behold spirit at work in and through all. My mental pictures are filled with images of abundance, health, peace, joy, and love. I see and feel myself claiming the good that I seek. God desires only complete fulfillment for me, for you. I center my thoughts on the vision I hold for my greater good. Realization is where we claim what it is we seek. This is the heart of the prayer. So I have a health challenge. And I can dwell on that health challenge. And in supplication, I might say, please, God, cure me from whatever I got. That's one way of doing it. Or you can say, wait a minute. Every cell in my body is healthy, whole, complete, and in harmony with itself and all other cells, and affirm that, and know that, and be that, and create that. Remember, we're co-creators with the divine. Thoughts held in mind, producing kind. All those kinds of things. Stinking thinking, right? So, positive prayer, it's taking the negative and turning it into a positive. If I cannot find peace in my life, I need to turn that around and say, there is peace in my life, and then how do I bring that about? I am a peaceful person. I'm a void of conflict. I choose to be whatever. Those are the kinds of statements that we use in our affirmations. And clearly, that's what Myrtle was saying. It was an affirmation. First, the way that the denial and affirmation process works, you deny the condition and affirm the opposite. I am not sick. I am well. Now, it's not manifest yet, or we wouldn't be praying, obviously. But it is the first step in the manifestation process. But you got to start at the beginning. So you first start, God is. I am. And guess what? Together, we're going to do this thing called realization. And sometimes it's really hard to do. I mean, this is not easy work by any means. When all of the things in my body are telling me no, how do I get past that? And our minds are tricky, tricky vehicles to have, at least mine is. Because as soon as I say something positive, I can think about 150,000 reasons why not. It's too big. It's too ominous. The machine tells me no. Whatever it is. I looked on the internet and there's no way. And all of those doubts go right in and negate everything I've been trying to do on the other side of that. So we got to be real careful. When we have an affirmation, and you'll go like, well, why isn't that working? Right? Well, maybe it's not for our highest good. That could be a possibility. Maybe it's a selfish thing, and the highest good, the spirit goes, well, you know, you can work on that on your own. Or it may be that I've negated it by my subconscious or at past events or information I'm getting from the outside. That's where it really helps to have a prayer partner, to be able to write down your thoughts and concerns, to use the prayer box in the back of the sanctuary, to have the others hold that space for you when you can't hold it for yourself. And so, and do take advantage of this prayer box and silent unity and all the other tools that we have to at our disposal. So, and part of this realization is this divine connection that we have. We don't have to do it alone. We can do it with others helping us, or we can do it with spirit. But spirit has the power to overcome. And yes, we're all going to die someplace along the way. That's a given. But it's the physical thing that we're dying, not the spiritual part of us. And that, another one of my aha things as I'm getting older and looking at this side of my journey. We are an eternal spiritual being experience. So we have a finite time here. We cannot pray ourselves out of the physicalness, because there's an eternal program here that we're part of. And so letting go of our body for whatever reason is part of that spiritual journey. Some of it is part of the divine mystery, and we may never figure it out. However, while we're here, we get to use things like prayer to assist us, to comfort us, to do the things for us that brings us joy and establishes on a path of our highest good. So we're not looking for necessarily a cure that we think of. Spirit has a greater knowledge of our path. And as Pam would say, sometimes it's just a soul's journey that you're on. But there's always a healing and always a process and always a way. And this is a way to step into whatever is going on and have it manifest for my highest good. So, and we need to know that we are worthy of that, our highest good to be manifest. Sometimes I think that's one of our biggest stumbling blocks as a human species, is we're not just worthy. Maybe we're not worthy enough to have peace. Well, of course we are. We haven't got there yet, but we are worthy enough. We're a child of God. We're a child of spirit. So anyway, as co-creators, we have an opportunity to step in with spirit, reframe what's going on, and send it forward and affirm that it is so, and let it manifest.